What is your Christmas response? Because of who he is, and because of what his coming brings, the birth of Jesus calls for a response. It calls for a response of believing, and believing with joy. That's the kind of response we see from the wise men. We're going to look at that response tonight. And that's the kind of response that the gospel calls for from all people. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. We are considering in this season here at Trinity Community Church how to beat the rush. And tonight we're just saying, you know, the way you beat it is to rejoice. Rejoice as you believe, and rejoice because you believe that Jesus has come for you. Tonight we're drawing our devotional from Matthew chapter 2 and those first 11 or 12 verses there. We're going to highlight a few of those verses. You can look at that section of Scripture if you want, but it's a familiar passage about some truth-seeking visitors who come to Jerusalem. It says this in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, that after Jesus was born, so clearly this is Matthew's way of getting at the truth and the implications for us of the birth of Jesus, Messiah, the King. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. These guys are sometimes called magi. They may be from Babylon, they may be from Persia, but they were led supernaturally by God. And there's so many things we don't know about them, but we're going to zero in tonight primarily on the things we do know about them. And that is the response they had to Jesus is clearly the response that Matthew wants us to know is the response we ought to have to Jesus. It's the response to his gospel, a response of believing. And these wise men or magi come from far, far away for the express purpose of showing us from the very beginning in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is not simply a king for the Jewish people, he's a king for all people. The message of the gospel is for all nations and all peoples, and not just the first century, but also the 21st century. It's a message for you. And they came with a question that night as they came in Jerusalem. And they said, where is this one who's been born king of the Jews? They've been led supernaturally by God all the way to Jerusalem. For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. They're here in Jerusalem expecting to find the king of the Jews. And of course, in the story, if you look there, we hear about a mean king named Herod, and we meet some guys, scribes and priests that are experts in the scriptures. We hear the scriptures themselves, and all that is there in Matthew chapter 2, but we also are pointed to a star. And the star shows up again in a few minutes, and the star leads them all the way to Bethlehem, where all those things Herod, to the scribes and the chief priests, to the scriptures, pointed them to. And there in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, you see the wise men's response as this star now once again appears and points them right to Bethlehem, where this one is that they have been longing for and looking for. Think about those guys. This journey from wherever they came was months, if not years. What a long, hard search. And now they're seeing the pointer, the spotlight, so to speak, shining upon this one that they've been longing for. And I want to encourage you to consider, this is the one you're longing for too. This is the one, the spotlight points, the star's shining light. And when they saw it, their response was believing joy. There are four different aspects or elements of this joy in this verse. Did you notice that? This is clearly getting a huge amount of emphasis as Matthew not only tells us what happened, but he tells us this is what happens when you believe. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. They didn't just rejoice, they rejoiced with joy, emphasizing that joy even more. They didn't just rejoice with joy, they rejoiced with great joy. They didn't just rejoice with great joy, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Joy in believing. That's the response of the wise men. And that is the point of the gospel message. If you look throughout the scripture, you can see this again and again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, when it says, in the midst of great affliction, you receive this message with joy. As Paul's writing to church in Rome, Romans chapter 15, he speaks about God giving joy in believing as you trust in him, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. I hope you see that as your own personal call to believe in him as Savior and bowing before him as your Lord, to worship him as they did, and therefore believing with great joy. We're going to look tonight at the responses to Jesus, the light of his coming, the truth of who he is, and consider first the Magi or the wise men, their adoration. Then we're going to look at the antagonism of Herod. And to consider that perhaps there may be some even who are mouthing the words of belief, but not really believing, and maybe more like Herod in his antagonism. And then we're going to look at the apathy of the chief priests and the scribes. And there may be some who are kind of saying, another Christmas, here we go, and it kind of just doesn't matter. And of course it does matter. And let's not fall into the apathy of the chief priests and the scribes. Believing in Jesus, the only response that brings lasting joy. The wise men's response, Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, reminds us that Jesus is a king and savior for all nations. Matthew frames his whole narrative in his gospel from the beginning with wise men coming from other nations. In the end, Jesus sending the disciples to go out and proclaim this gospel to all the nations. So believing joy is for you. Whatever your background, whatever your nationality, wherever you are on the face of the planet, whatever your religious background might be, this is the message for you. That's the point of the wise men, not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. Not just that time, but all generations. Not just those types of folks, those religious kinds or whatever, but you as well, even the non-religious. The response of believing joy is because Jesus is the only one who can save from sin. This dilemma that we're in because of our sin condition. When the angel appeared to Joseph at the very beginning, even before Jesus was born, the angel reminded him what his name means. You should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know, we're all, as human beings, really good at pointing out the sins of others. We're good at noticing what's wrong with the world. These people think that, and that's bad, and those people do that, and that's bad, and everybody's got this problem. And yet the scripture reminds us that I am the one that needs saving. You are the one that needs saving. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is separation from God. And Jesus came to solve that problem for you by what he did. Now, if you ask the question, why did Jesus come? The Bible gives the answer in many different verses, but the same essential answer of what we see in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus here said his express purpose in coming was not to serve, but to not to be served, but to serve, and a specific kind of serving was to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave himself on that cross, not only so we could have forgiveness of sins, but eternal life with him in heaven. And that's why he came from heaven, for the very purpose of being the one who would give himself to redeem us. So that calls for a response of adoration. The wise men, for all that they may not have known, And we wonder, how did they know these things? And they probably were exposed to the Jewish people in the scriptures, but God clearly supernaturally led them there. For all they may not have known, they are here to remind us that this is the right response to Jesus. He is the king for all people. The gospel is for all nations. The star reminds us the light of his coming and all that it brings. And they responded in the right way. They worshiped him. They adored him based on who he is as God and King. The Old Testament points to the light that would come when Messiah came. And all these scriptures about light in John, and even we'll look at one here in Matthew tonight, and the star itself, they point to the reality of that truth. The nations shall come to your light, kings to the brightness of your rising. And when we see the star and the wise men following that star and going to Bethlehem to give adoration to Jesus, it's all pointing to their understanding of this. This is that light coming for us and for all people. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, you can kind of see the flow of how they got from leaving Jerusalem, heading up to Bethlehem, about 5 or 6 miles away, to on their knees before Jesus, the babe, worshiping him. And I'd like to just read through those scriptures, and we just see their movement and their response of joy-filled believing and worshiping at his feet. I hope that you would see yourself in this. This is your response to him this Christmas and in life itself. It says that after listening to the king, they went on their way, and we'll look a little bit more at how they got directed by the king to Bethlehem in just a few minutes. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw Mary, the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And of course, you will notice, if you're paying attention, this was sometime later, not clearly the night of his birth. So the magi or wise men showing up at the manger is not accurate theology. This is not at the place of the manger. Actually, you can see the description here. This is a house. By this time, Joseph had secured a house for Mary and Jesus there in Bethlehem. But I want you to notice their worship. They fell down and worshipped him. This is the response for all who believe, as they understand who he is as God with us, the one who saves us. Are you experiencing the joy, that unspeakable joy rising in my soul as we sang about it? Maybe you have fallen victim to the antagonism of someone like King Herod. Herod is kind of one of the meanest guys to show up on the pages of the Bible, if you look at who this guy is and what he sought to do. And from the very beginning, Herod was threatened. Another king, this was clearly a threat to him. But notice Herod's words. His words, if all you had was the words, are wonderful words, but of course they're dripping with insincerity, profound insincerity. He didn't mean them. He didn't really want to worship. He wanted to fake worship, because he was antagonistic. There are those who may sort of pat Christians on the head, the message of Jesus, say the words, Merry Christmas, etc., etc. Maybe they're openly antagonistic, or maybe they're not openly antagonistic, but there's an insincerity. There's a lack of truth seeking the truth. I plead with you to not fall into what Herod did, but to respond in true believing and in seeking him, which will lead to true believing. Let's look at Herod's response in verses 7 and 8 of Matthew chapter 2. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." And he didn't mean a word of it. Don't fall into that response. Are you missing joy? Maybe you're sincere, but you could be in that sincerity, just plowing through life, rushing to another thing, from one thing to the next, keeping busy. It's all about the next thing you're trying to do. And an apathy keeps you from pausing to consider the scriptures, from pausing to consider your own response to him. In this text, we see some that didn't slow down at all. They knew a lot of stuff, and they weren't necessarily evil men in the ilk of Herod, but they just didn't slow down. They didn't stop to check it out. They were rushing and ignoring him, and it led to them not believing, not having joy. And that same kind of response will lead to you not believing, not kind of not having joy. The text points us to a seeking, a slowing down to consider, and in that to believe in him. These individuals are introduced to us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. When Herod was really troubled about these guys who came seeking the king of the Jews, he assembled, it says, Matthew chapter 2, verse 4, the chief priests and the scribes. These were the experts. These were the guys that knew what was going on spiritually, knew the scriptures well. And he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now notice, they had the right answer. They knew a lot, but they didn't pause to seek. They understood enough of the scriptures, but didn't believe in the one they pointed to. And they told him, accurate answer, in Bethlehem of Judea, so it is written by the prophet. And then they quote, or at least Matthew does, what they quoted from right out of Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and following the scripture that we read earlier this evening. But they didn't slow down, pause, ask the questions, open in a way that went to Bethlehem to see what was going on and believe. The answer then to the Christmas rush, to the life rush, is joy in believing. This text points us to a personal response of each one of us to believe in Jesus as the one who came for us, to bow before Jesus as the one that is worthy of our worship, to rejoice in him in believing. That's the response. Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. That wasn't circumstantial joy. That was a kind of joy that can't be taken away. It's a believing joy. And that's what I'm calling for, what the gospel calls for in our response tonight. Have you received him? You know, that message in Matthew chapter 2 is really an invitation to you. She will bear a son. Matthew chapter 1, rather, verse 21. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And of course, we know that his people includes all people who believe. Have you received this great gift? If you have, I want to encourage you not just to then say, okay, I have, I'm all set. But if you believe, also slow down and let that believing be one of joy-filled adoration. Whatever you're struggling with, know that this response of believing is a call for us to worship him and continue in growing in him. You know, as we think about those wise men or magi, they had a long, long journey to get to Jerusalem and then up to Bethlehem, and they stayed with it all the way. We've had some long, long kind of journeys here lately, haven't we, with a worldwide pandemic and then a whole lot of pain and maybe a whole lot of panic. And some of you are saying, well, there's no such thing as joy here in the midst of this. And I want to point you to, yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's joy in believing. It's joy in knowing who this Jesus is and worshiping him as your Savior and your King. And so this is the place of growing as a believer. This is the place of continuing in him in seasons of difficulty. This is the place of savoring the meaning of Jesus' birth, not at the surface level, but at the level of great depth. And this is where our call to the 21 days of prayer is. We want to be a community of believers that is loving him, worshiping him, rejoicing in him, and proclaiming that message to a world that so desperately needs it. If you're a part of this community, I hope you join us in that as we move into 2022. I mentioned a scripture about light and Jesus as the light in the darkness in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. This is right after the birth narrative, the baptism of Jesus, the temptation in the wilderness, right before he begins his earthly ministry. Look at this. This is who Jesus is. He brings the light. The people dwelling in darkness, it says, have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. You know, lights can be pointers, like spotlights. I said the star was sort of like a spotlight pointing and saying, this is the one. But lights can also be like signals of action. If you see a green light, you know, you should go. If you see a red light, you know, you should stop. You don't want to stop at a green light. You're going to get rear-ended. You don't want to go on a red light. You're going to get hit by somebody or get a ticket, right? The light of Jesus coming is like a light that signals us to act. And the act is believing. The call is to believe. Tonight we're going to be lighting a candle, all of us, as we conclude our service. And as you came in this evening, you should have got one of these. I want you to just hold this candle right now and take a look at that. Right now, your candle does not have any light. And that's a reminder of who we are as human beings apart from Jesus. We can't manufacture light for this. We need to receive light. And because of sin's impact, we don't have that light. But Jesus came and gave himself for us so that by his sacrifice on the cross and by his triumph over death and by us believing in him, we have forgiveness. We have life. We have light. And so receive Jesus if you haven't yet done so. And if you have received Jesus, then of course you are shining light. You have joy. You worship him. You shine and spread the light to others. You want to tell others about him. And so we're really illustrating all these things tonight as we conclude this service and as we light these candles. We don't have light. Jesus gives light. When we receive him by faith, we receive light. And as we have light, we want to spread light. And if you don't have a candle, may you hold up your hand and we'll get you one right now as we conclude. What I'd like to do before we sing our closing song, we stand together and we sort of spread this light. We receive and spread and receive and spread, and we worship him. I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Can I invite the team, if they would, to come up right now? And since some of you are standing anyway, let's stand. We'll stand. Let's stand for this prayer. And what we're going to do is celebrate and worship Jesus, acknowledging that he brings light, and we want to spread his light if we believe in him. And if we haven't yet believed in him, tonight might be the night to receive him. Acknowledge your need, trust him as Savior, open that Bible and see that message. That's a message for you. This Christmas message is for you. Let me lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray for each person here. You know their journey, you know their struggles, and maybe it's antagonism or apathy or something else, Lord, but I pray for anything that's getting in the way, that they might hear the message, give them ears to hear and a heart to respond. Lord, help no one to think this isn't for them, because we know that's not true. Jesus is a king for all people. And we so thank you that he came. We so thank you that you put these wise men in the pages of Scripture. You move them supernaturally to remind us of that and to show us the response of believing and joy in believing because of the one we've been longing for. He's come. He went to the cross. He gave himself for sin's forgiveness. He rose triumphant from death. He is God with us, the Word made flesh. We worship him. We bow down before him. We want our lights, our lives to shine for him. We want to be those that radiate that joy, Lord, even in the midst of the difficulties of this broken world, so that others may know him. We pray. praise Jesus. We worship him. And we thank you and pray this in his name. Carefully blow your light. And I remind you, when you do that, Jesus' light never goes out. So continue to let that light shine. And we're so glad you joined with us this evening. There are plastic receptacles for you to drop these in to head out. And have a Merry Christmas. Good to see you. God bless you. Hey, good to have you here, man. Really good. God bless you, Christine. Good to see you. Hey, Joe. Good to see you. Merry Christmas to you. Joey. Good to see you, man. Hey. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I forgot.